portion of Scripture that we wish to read and meditate on tonight you can find in prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 8, and we'll read all of chapter 8 and chapter 9, verse 1. Just hear the word of the Lord. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven whom they have loved and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Every one turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defensed cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of the strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images? and with strange vanities. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Thus ends God's word and Jeremiah's lament for the people of Judah. Dear congregation, we've come to the last day of the year of our Lord, 2015. And tonight can be seen as the last evening before the new year, or it can be seen as the last evening of the past 364 evenings. If we think about the purpose of a New Year's Eve service, there can be various purposes. Sometimes we can use them to look back on God's faithfulness and rejoice in that faithfulness. Or we can look back and see His patience and rejoice, yes, even in His patience with us. We can look at the past year and realize once again our need for confession, reflection. As we come to this last evening of 2015, we've also come to the end of a season of opportunity. It's the last of many opportunities in this past year in which you have to come and gather and, yes, hear the gospel. Jeremiah's time, he felt in a very real way that the people there were at the end of a season. A season of opportunity had gone by them. And it seemed past. It seemed gone. And there's historical context for that. The Babylonians had brought the punishment that the people of Judah deserved. And he saw that and saw that this the privileges that they had seemed unrecoverable. And so he laments in verse 20 of chapter 8, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. He had seen, as it were, the people had chosen death. And that whole season of opportunity had come, and they were still living in death, and they still were not saved. Tonight we come to the end of another season of opportunities. And I fear there's some here still not saved. Some are in bondage. Sin is literally killing you. Slowly, maybe, but certainly. Some here are struggling with, we might say, remaining sin, corruption, backsliding, remaining disease, still very real in our lives. And we're certainly not thriving spiritually. And Jeremiah, as the man of God, sent to Judah, goes out devastated. He says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. I'm mourning. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. The tragedy of that season of opportunity going by, and people still spiritually dead. The impact on Jeremiah is he's hurt, he's mourning, he's astonished, he's sad. He can't believe it. So he asks the question, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In a sense, those first two questions are rhetorical questions. Because everyone knows there is balm in Gilead and there is healing there. But then the pressure point comes. Why then? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And that question, that pressure point applies to us tonight again. Why then is there no healing? Why then are we not spiritually thriving? Why are some of you here not healed? Do you not feel the disease? Sometimes disease impacts us and we don't even realize it. And we think we can go on. We think there's nothing wrong with our lives. Jeremiah says in verse 6, everyone is turned to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. It's the horse goes into battle without thinking. And people are going on their lives, not even thinking, not realizing that the disease, the battle, the spiritual battle, is real in them. Do you not see the disease? Do you not see the symptoms of the disease of sin in maybe society, but in your own heart? Do you not see what Jeremiah saw as he looked at the people? Because as he looks at them, he describes these symptoms so well. Verse 5, Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? Here's the symptom. They hold fast the seat. They refuse to return. They don't want to know. Good. Verse 6, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? They didn't speak right. They didn't ask the right questions. They didn't stop to think. So he goes on in verse 7, the stork in heaven knows her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. They're not thinking. They're not even remembering what they're supposed to know. They don't know the justice of the Lord. Verse 9, nor do they believe. They've rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? They don't believe what they're hearing. Now see how these things are symptoms. They're not knowing right. They're not speaking right. They're not wanting to know the justice of the Lord. They're not hearing what's actually being said to them. In verse 12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed. Neither could they blush. Here's another symptom. The disease is so alive in them that they can't even blush anymore. They don't see it. It doesn't embarrass them. They don't respond the way they should. Now think of these things. All symptoms Jeremiah sees in the people. And if someone were to walk into a hospital today, and they were not able to know or remember things, and they were not able to speak, and they were not able to hear, and they were not able to think, and they were not able to respond, what would the doctors say? There's something seriously wrong here. This needs healing. This person needs drastic measures. Something's wrong. But you see, Jeremiah describes all these symptoms to the people, and the people don't even see it. He laments there's something wrong. And they just continue on their way. Do you not see the symptoms of disease? The disease of sin in your life? Because we can create parallels for each of these things Jeremiah is seeing. We're not thinking. Sin is impacting our thinking. Sin is impacting our words. Sin is impacting how we're hearing things. Sin is impacting how we're responding. Sin's dulling our senses. Sin's making it so that our ears are covered, our eyes are still blind. And these are all symptoms of sin. And these symptoms ought to tell you and me tonight there is something seriously wrong. Do you not feel the disease? Jeremiah reminds the people, the other remedies you've tried haven't helped. You've gone to other prophets. You've, as it were, gone to other healers. Verse 11, he says, they have healed, the false prophet and false priest have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that healing slightly is like superficial healing. They've just put on a bandage and said, it's okay, you can keep going your way now. But it's false. It's peace, peace when there is no peace. The false remedy doesn't help the disease. So he says, we looked for peace, but no good came. We looked for a time of health, but all we saw, trouble. The disease, as it were, getting worse and worse. And you look around you today and the symptoms never get better. When you reject the health that you need, the measures that you need for the health of your body, the symptoms just get worse. And it's not then that they're just not knowing or speaking or thinking or hearing the way they should. They are being deceived. They're absolutely being deceived. There's no thing that they're seeing properly. And because they're so stuck in those symptoms and so willfully living in spite of those symptoms, they still live in sin. God says, I will surely consume them. And there shall be no grapes on the vine nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade. And the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. How bad is it? It says bad, verse 14 says, he's given us water of gall to drink. In verse 17, the serpents, the plague is coming and it will not be stopped and it shall bite you. Notice sin is creeping in, but it's going to spread. It's like disease. It's infectious. So that sinners spread it to others. And yes, it's even maybe rejoiced in and maybe even spread intentionally to hurt others. So that as Psalm 41 says, all those who hate me devise my hurt. They're planning my hurt. They want me to suffer. They want me to, yes, experience the disease. Jeremiah says to the people, as it were, don't you see this disease? Don't you see these symptoms? Don't you see it getting worse? Why then don't you go for the medicine? Don't you see the disease? The symptoms, the failed remedies? Without healing, you will die. And it will be a certain death, a forever death. Not just annihilation, but pain. The disease of sin allowed to ravage you forever. If you see the disease, why then do you not go for healing? Maybe. Do you not know the remedy? Have you not heard of the remedy before? Do you not know that there's healing available? Certainly you've heard there is balm in Gilead. There is, as it were, medicine that's available. Oh, you've not heard of Gilead. Gilead's over beyond the Jordan. It's a forest area. There's forest there, trees and bushes. You've not heard of the balm. Well, there's balm from those trees and those bushes, and it's soothing and it's comforting. Yes, they take these things from plants and trees, and they use it for the healing of people. And there is plenty in Gilead. And yes, Jeremiah says to these people, is there no balm? Yes, there is balm. You know that. They're going by. They're trading it to the Egyptians. They're selling it. This is worthwhile in their eyes. And they will not run out. You've heard it many times. You've seen it many times. There goes the balm in Gilead. Here is the balm in Gilead. But yes, back to today, tonight. You've heard of the balm of Gilead many times this past year. Many times over. The healing's still here. It won't run out. It's still valuable. Is there no balm? Yes, there's balm. Maybe you know. You say, but I can't give this to myself. You can't give this to yourself. But even now, it comes, as it were, here's the invitation to come and receive some of this balm. Because the remedy is still available. It's not just for the past. It's not just for the people of Judah. It's God's word coming to us. Yes, in 2015, tonight, saying this is still available. Still effective. There is still healing in the great physician. Because Jeremiah, even as he's lamenting the condition of his people, even as he's seeing their destruction, they're living in sin and disease, even though he sees them weakening, he knows there's still balm. He knows there's still a great physician. Chapter 30, verse 17 says, includes the promise of the Lord, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Yes, the promise from Jeremiah to the people of Judah is there, but it's from God to you tonight. There is still healing available. And it comes from the great physician. Who is he? Where is he? Is he available tonight? Where can I find him? You go to the Gospels, you know who he is. He's the one who came and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Various diseases. Doesn't matter tonight whether you're poor or brokenhearted or captive or blind or bruised. No, he comes and he says, I've come for all these diseases. And then notice it's one great physician. And he knows the correct response for every single one of these diseases. He knows what the broken need. He knows what the bruised need. And he comes saying, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me so that I can bring this to those who are brokenhearted. And you know this great physician, he has a perfect track record. He's achieved full rights for this medicine. It's only through him that this is available. It's only through him that you can be healed tonight. Why? Because this great physician has suffered the pain of disease himself. And not just a little. He came to be humiliated, to bear the cross, to suffer the reproach of those enemies who spit at him and struck him, who wanted him dead. An evil disease set his enemies cleave fast unto him. And now he that lieth, he shall rise up no more. But he prays, Thou, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may requite them. And you know that great physician did arise. He did rise from the grave. He's alive forevermore. He's ascended into heaven, interceding, yes, for his church, for those who need healing. And he brings, as it were, full healing. And consider what this full healing is. It's full healing for every single one of those symptoms. It's full healing from death, from disease. Even though the symptoms bring out rebellion against the great physician, he comes and says, I will heal you. Yes, even of those symptoms of not hearing and not listening and not caring. And the medicine that he brings then is medicine to life. It's not just medicine that's going to stop the symptoms. No, it's medicine that comes so that you can live, so that you can live more than you've ever lived before, so that it's not just at a plateau, but no, he can give you healing so that you thrive, so that you spiritually grow, so that you can be transformed, yes, even into his own image, so that you can live in holiness and righteousness. That brings up a question. For those of you who, yes, have come to this great physician in the past and who know, yes, he's healed you. Why are you not thriving? Why is disease still once in a while springing up in you? Why are you living half-heartedly? This great physician who brings the balm from Gilead, he brings it so that you might live. He heals you so that you can live for him. And then, yes, if you know of this remedy, why are you not healed? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? If you see the disease and see the symptoms and you know of the remedy and you know that that remedy is effective for those symptoms, why is your health not recovered? Do you not realize your opportunity? The opportunity for this balm, for this healing, for this physician to come. Because he comes and it's free healing. There's no sign-up deadlines. There's no premiums, there's no deductibles. There's just empty, needy hands. Stained hands, diseased hands, yes. But hands that need the balm. Balm of Gilead. And the question comes to you again tonight. Why then are you not healed? And it's not just your pastor's question. It's not just Jeremiah's question to the people of Judah. This is God's word to you tonight. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? It's the great physician himself asking the question. He's calling, saying, here tonight, another opportunity to hear my voice, to receive the balm. Another, yes, opportunity before the year closes. Before your opportunities, your season of opportunities is over. Come. And when people are sick, there's all kinds of reasons not to go to the doctor. You might think, I'm not that bad. But here, with these symptoms, you are. You're living a path of death and destruction. It's guaranteed if you stay in that broad way, it only ends up in one place. Or maybe this excuse, I've had this a long time now. And I've survived to this point, yes, with pains and suffering, but I can continue. But no, you can't continue because it's coming to an end. And there is healing for this, even if you've suffered for 80 years from the same disease. There's healing that can wipe out those 80 years. Maybe you thought this, though. I know someone else with this disease. Nothing helped them. Well, maybe nothing they tried helped them. But this great physician, if he helps you, it's guaranteed, it's certain, he will, yes, do, complete the work of his own hands. And it's guaranteed to be successful. Or maybe you've had this excuse. I've not had a good experience with other physicians. But here tonight, this great physician, yes, carrying the balm of Gilead, he is like no other. And he comes healing in his wings. Or maybe you've thought this excuse already tonight. But I'm not just spiritually diseased. I'm spiritually dead. But what does this physician do? He even calls, as it were, to the dead, Lazarus, arise, come forth. And he heals and he brings back to life. And yes, this great physician, there's nothing that he can't save from. There is balm in Gilead, effectual balm. There is healing there. There is opportunity. And so the question comes, is there no balm? Yes, there is. Is there no physician there? Yes, there is. Why then are you not healed? Why is there not people going up? Why is there not a great line at this doctor? Yes, because he can see everybody at once. But why is there, even from among us, only a trickle going in? Why is there not every one of us rushing there? Why are more not going up? Do you not feel the disease? Do you not know of the remedy? Do you not know there's opportunity tonight? Limited opportunity. You do because you've heard it. even just for the first time tonight. Do you not know then the great physician's instructions? Have you not heard him say, "Return, return to me, backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings"? Have you not heard him say, "Stop going to false teachers, to false healers"? Jeremiah 6, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Have you not heard him say, "Call out to me"? Jeremiah 33, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them." Have you not heard him say, "Repent"? Well, Hosea said to the people, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten, but he will bind us up." And then have you not heard his promise? "I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away. I will bring them balm." Have you not heard of the balm of Gilead? Have you not heard of the great physician? And so often we can get sidetracked by our own ideas, our own resources, our own effort, our own wisdom. But what does Jeremiah say? Chapter 9, 23. "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight." God wants you to glory in him, in his righteousness, in his loving kindness, in his justice. Why then do you glory in yourself? Because yourself is diseased, dying, corrupt, full of deceit. Jeremiah wrote to the people in disbelief. God sends out his revelation to us, to me, to you, tonight, saying, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." You know, Christ wept over Jerusalem. And what did he say over Jerusalem? "I would have, but you would not." You were not willing. Jeremiah mourns over Judah. "Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" And he might have said those same words. "I would have, but you were not willing." come to another end. An end of another year. Another year of ministering to you. Your pastors long for the same thing as Jeremiah longed for, as Christ longed for, as He looked at Jerusalem. We long for your spiritual health individually. We long for your spiritual health as families. We long for our corporate spiritual health, so that we'd be vibrant, healthy as a church family, where all spiritual diseases are healed, where all the symptoms are removed, where everything we do and think and say brings glory to God. We've had another year of opportunity, and the year has shown that we're not there. That some of you hurt, we hurt. We can say with Jeremiah, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. Some of you neglect what you hear every week. With Jeremiah, we're black. Good morning. But it's those who would rather suffer, who would rather continue living in disease, suffering symptoms, than go to the great physician. That with Jeremiah, astonishment takes hold of us. And we have the same question as verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then? Why then? It's not because there's no remedy. There is. It's not because you haven't heard. You have. It's not because the great physician is not willing. He is. It's not because there's no opportunity. You have another opportunity tonight. Do you not realize that the season of opportunity is different for each one of us, and we don't know when it's going to end? The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And it's not just the end of the year. But the warning is that you don't know when the end of your time is. I don't know when the end of my time is. And as an ambassador of the great physician, I beseech you again, be reconciled with God. God, the great physician, He sent His word to you. He calls out to you. He says there is a balm. He says there is healing available. And He asks you, why then? Why is not your health recovered? Amen. Let's pray. Eternal, heavenly, great physician, hear the prayers that rise up to Thee for healing. First healing, repeated healing. Lord, we pray that in this later hour of this year, that Thou would heal the spiritually dead, that Thou would revive the spiritually backsliding, that Thou would bless the spiritually needy, that Thou would strengthen those who go to the balm every time they need it. Lord, it's our prayer that through Thy Spirit's work, Thou would make us a healthy, vibrant, fruitful church, united in Christ, strong part of Thy kingdom, so that together we would live to Thy honor and glory. Yes, even in the rest of the hours of this year, and into whatever years, days, hours Thou will give us. Lord, please forgive our sin. Remove, Lord, the symptoms. Grant new hearts, hearts of joy, hearts of love, hearts of zeal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.